So why is that? So Rashi explains, Ein avelim in a minyan, Shehareihu omer brocha lamenachamim b'fnei atzman, Acheinu baal hagmul yishalim lachem gemulchem hatov, Baruch ata Hashem mishalim hagmul. La'avelim b'fnei atzman, Acheinu baal nechomos yinachem eschem, Baruch ata Hashem menachem avelim, Ve'eno kol lan yachet. It seems that the brochas set the avelim off to the side. That the brachos themselves again sort of highlight the fact that the avel is not integrated into the one person used to say it. One person used to say it on behalf of the others. The Gemara in Ksuvos tells the story. I forget about which amora that he said to his mitorgaman, say a bracha. Apparently they didn't have necessarily a fixed text for it at that point. So he says to him, say a bracha. Yeah. Okay. Ein mezamnen al hamazon b'shem pachos me'asar. So to add Elokeinu in the Birkas Hazimun, so we only do that if we have asar. Now here there's a big machlokas in the Rishonim about Birkas Hazimun b'asar. If you take a look in the Ran, actually what we're about to discuss here by Birkas Hazimun. No, there's nothing about it which is a Dovash of Kedusha. Did we discuss this last time? I don't remember. But apparently this bracha of Birkat Aveilim is... Remind me whether we discussed this. It's been a few weeks since we were here, because we also did a couple of weeks in Yoni Psochem. But... I think we discussed I think even Xerox said at the time, I'm not sure if we got to it, how the Rav quoted B'Shem of Chaim that there are some mitzvahs of chesed which are chovas yochet, some which are chovas tzibur, and that was Rav Chaim's teretz to the kasha of the Rishonim in Ksubis, that the Gemara in Ksubis, according to the simple reading, describes that I think Rava was kofer on Tzedaka. So the Rishonim all asked the Kasha, but the Gemara in Chulin says that whenever you have a mitzvah essay, Shemat Nischara, Ksuva Vitzida, so ain't Bezdin Shemat Musaran Allah, that you don't have Kfiya if the Torah writes the Schav, such as Lemanya, Richon Yamecha, so you don't have Kfiya. So Bezdin, even though they're kofer, if a person says, I'm not going to be Mekayim Mitzvah Zluluva Mitzvah Sukkah, but if he says, I'm not going to be Mekayim Kibarav, so then Bezdin isn't kofer, because Kibarav is Matan Scharek Suva Vitzida, Leman Yarichun Yamecha, as though the Torah is implying that this is the only incentive that we're giving for the person, and we're not going to provide the incentive of kfiya. So then the question is, so how can it be that we're kofer on mitzvahs tzedakah? So that's the kasha which the Rishonim in Ksubis ask. And the Rishonim have different answers. And Reb Chaim gives an answer and says that there are two chiyuvim of tzedakah. Tzedakah as a chovas yochid, but everyone as a yochid is chayav to give tzedakah. But then there's also a chovas tzibur. There's also a communal chiyuv of tzedakah. And Reb Chaim quoted the Lashon HaRambam, the Lo Shamanu on Al Kohol MiYisrael. We never heard about a Jewish community anywhere that they don't have a kibushal tzedakah, that they don't have this communal provisions for tzedakah. It talks about the soup kitchen and the money, that some have both, some have one, but they all have they all have problems. Reb Chaim uses that to fire in for the kasha, and then Reb Chaim correlates that with Parshas Behar and Parshas Re'eh, that that's why you have two parshios of stoka in the Torah. And then Reb Chaim says, so there's no kfiya mitzad the chovas yochid. But let's say when the tzibur is organizing its stocker apparatus. So where does the tzibur's funds come from? They come from the people who comprise the tzibur. So then, if the tzibur feels that in terms of carrying out the chovas tzibur of stocker, that a certain yochid is not doing what he's supposed to, so then you can have kfir. And then all this is written up, I think, in the very first Masorah. And then the Rav elaborates and says that this isn't limited to mitzvah stokah, but this paradigm that sometimes is not only a chovas yochid, but a chovas tzibur as well, is one that which you find in general by Gemilas Chasadim. And he says that's the pshat in our Gemara of why it is that there are certain forms of tanchumei avelim which are only ba'asara. What is it? So Chazal said, now this is going to be the instrument for the Chovas Tzibur of Nicham Avelim. That this is what Chazal designated as the way the Tzibur collectively engages in Tanchumi Avelim through this bracha of Bekas Avelim Beruchova Shalim. Okay, so we're going to look at the Ran here. So, Ein mezamnen al mazam, that when you have a mezumen, and we're going to say Elokeinu, so that requires asara. So if you take a look here, in the Ran, on Daf Yud Gimel Beis, in the Dapi Harif, towards the bottom, the Diba Hamasra, Gemara of Mimahani Mile. Right, so at the beginning of the Gemara said, Minahani Mile, how do you know that these things require asara? And the Gemara quotes the Asmachta that a Davish of Ikdusha has to be Basar, right here on Yud Gimel Amud Beis in the Dapi Arif. L'chol Davish of Ikdusha lo yia pachos me'asar. Now if you just go down from there two lines towards the middle of the line, the high timer sagi, this reason of Davish of Ikdusha, that suffices la'in porson al shema vein ovin lefnei ateva mishum kedusha de ispahu. He says that's only the first cases in the Mishnah, right? The first two cases in the Mishnah are in Porsan al Shema, right? We saw there were different pshatim in the Rishonim. The Ran now is assuming the pshat that what it means is that to say the Baruch of Yotze HaMa'oros requires, in its entirety, requires a minyan because of Kedusha de Yotze, that does have a din of Kedusha, not just a din of Sipur Dvarim, as we've discussed. And similarly, Chazar Sashatz, right? That Haitaima Sagila in Porsan Ashma, the in Ovin Lefnei Ateva, for Chazar Sashatz, Mishum Kedusha de Isbehu. However, that's the only thing that the reason of Davish of Kedusha is intended for. So then clearly, the implication in the Ran is that everything else in the Mishnah, and now specifically, Awan Nidon, Bekas HaMazon Basara is not a Davish of Kedusha. It's not a Davish of Kedusha. The Sefer Tehillah Yonah has a lot of the keys in the Rishonim on this, but I just brought them to the Meiri in Brochos. I think it might be one for two, one for two people. This is commenting on the Gemara towards the beginning of the seventh parak in Brachas about Noshim Bibikas Hazimon. So the Gemara says there that the Noshim Mizamnos La'atzma. And then there's a major machlokas in the Rishonim. Does that mean they're Mechuyavos? Meaning they're Mizamnos La'atzma, that they're not Mitztarfos if you have two men and one woman, or two women and one man. So that's not a tzeru shlosha for zimun. But if you have three women on their own, so then that is a tzeru for zimun. The Gemara says nashim mezamnos latzman, and it's a big machlokas in the Rishonim. Does it mean that they're chayavos lezamin, or does it just mean that they're rashaos lezamin? Right. So we paskin that it's only rashaos, not chayavos. But now, Within this, so if you see in the left-hand column, there's a Yeshomim, and then there's one. It says 151 for the footnote. Yeshomim, then 151. Do you see that, Rabosai, in the left-hand column? So just beginning, just at the beginning of that sentence, U'masha be'arnu she'ein mezamnos la'atzman, Yeshomim davke bezimun gimel she'ein bo hazkaras Hashem. That noshim, when mezamnos la'atzman, it only means a regular zimun. However, avalam ha'yus, alfa pisha mezamnos, yikol malkom ein mezamnos b'shem. Why not? Shehazkaras Hashem davar shebikdushahu, ve'ein davar shebikdusha mosul l'noshim. So the simple pshat is, right, that the Me'iri learns in our Gemara, not like the Ran, that the reason of davar shebikdusha, which the Gemara gives at the beginning of our sugya, is intended for Birkas Hamazon as well. And he says, the same way, we don't count women to a minion. So then they couldn't, the same way, they can't form a minion for Hazaras Hashatz, so then they wouldn't be able to constitute Asara for purposes of Birkas Haziman with Elokeinu. Then he says, however, Yesh Cholkin B'chach, and others dispute it, meaning others apparently hold that if you had 10 noshim, they could be mezamnos b'shem. Now, obviously, they don't dispute the fact that they're not mitztarfos to a minyan, so that's good for the question, the same question that we're discussing here between the Ran and that first day in the Me'iri, whether or not birkas ha-zimun ba'asara, so does it have the status of a davash ha-bigdusha? Does it have the status of
the... two separate points where he says, v'yesh kolkin b'kach, that it's ein davash ha-bigdusha v'sal v'nashim, or the first half.
Yesh kolkin b'kach, that they can be mezamnos v'asara b'shem.
But everybody would hold that they're not musal v'gdusha.
Right, but they say that birkas ha-zimun v'asara is not a question of davash ha-bigdusha. Okay. Now in our Gemara, so Lamais, it is a Machlokes Rishonim, regardless of what we're able to understand or not understand in the Gemara, it is a Machlokes Rishonim. Now the problem is that the Pshutash, right, and the different Minhagim in terms of whether you stand for Elokeinu during the Birkas HaZimun seems to reflect this Machlokes Rishonim, that if it's a Davar Shebikdusha, then there should be, in general, by a Davar Shebikdusha, so we... We honor it ba'amida. We honor it ba'amida. Over here, I guess we're sort of, even if you hold it to davash ha-bigdusha, we're sort of trying to balance it with, you know, benching is said sitting as part of the kriyas. So I guess that's how we sort of balance the two. And those who have the minig that they don't stand at all, fellow Kainu, so that's consistent with what the Ran holds, that it's not a davash ha-bigdusha.
But the Ran has it by birkas krishma, that it's davash ha-bigdusha.
Right, so
not
how come? Right, and what's more, it's even the Nosei Kelim, the Nosei Kelim in Shulchan Aruch quote that al pi kabbal you bedavka supposed to sit. Not only may you sit, but you bedavka supposed to sit.
Eventually,
for kedusha d'yotza. No, you for kedusha d'yotza. You bedavka supposed to.
Like,
really, even by Birkas Krishna?
They get up a little bit. For when they say cut off in the.
I don't know what the reason for that is, but there's some reason I'll pick Kabbalah, bedavka to sit for Kedusha the Yotze. It's supposed to be Meyushav. I'm not sure.
Even though it's the only one that everyone agrees is the Davar
Shebikdusha. Well, not everyone agrees that Kedusha the Yotze is according to some Yishonim, it's not, because we're not saying the Kedusha, we're just describing what the Malachim said. But some Yishonim certainly did say that it's a Davar Shebikdusha.
So, you stand of Elokeinu kind of like those who stand, kind of just like a recognition of a Davar Shebikdusha without...
That's it's sort of a Kosov HaShlishi between it being a between the fact that benching and the kviyas of benching should be the yeshiva, so that's sort of the... No. I think Rav Shachter has an Nefesh HaRav that the Rav said of the Minig and Lita was that they didn't stand for...
Almost,
no, they didn't stand for Elokeinu. And the question is, how do you read the Gemara according to the Meiri? So the Gemara says, Ein mezamna l'ashem b'pachos me'asar. So says the Gemara, Kevin d'boi l'meim and d'voruch l'elokeinu, botze me'asar alav aruch aron. To mention Elokeinu with less than Asara is not Derech Eretz. So first of all, the question is, what does that mean? And when we make a Shehakol, so we say Elokeinu without a meaning. So first of all, what does it mean? A. And secondly, whatever it means, it doesn't seem to be giving the reason of Davash HaVikdusha, because otherwise the Gemara wouldn't have to comment, because the Gemara already said at the beginning of the Sugya, the Gemara explained how we know that Davash HaVikdusha needs Asara. So to take a stab at just what it means in terms of the first question, which doesn't help us from the Meiri, so it would seem to mean like this, that we want to acknowledge in benching the presence of the larger chabura, and we want to, and the way we're going to sort of upgrade the benching, even when we have any mezuzah, is sort of upgraded, because we add Birkas Hazima. So now the same way for a chabura of Gimel, we upgraded it, so for a larger chabura, we want to upgrade it even more. So we're upgrading it even more by mentioning Shem Hashem. So that upgrade, to use Shem Hashem as an upgrade, so that requires the justification of the presence of Asara, right? Because obviously there's no din that we can't say Elokeinu without Asara. That's not what the Gemara means. Okay, so that's fine. And that's, I guess, how the Ran would read it. And on the contrary, that's what the Gemara is telling us. No, the reason of Dovash HaVikdusha doesn't help you out here.
The upgrades go with that other submission, I think, where it is that.
Yeah.
When you add more 100 people or 1,000.
It's a machlokes tanoim, right? Some tanoim have other gradations also, and we don't pass on that. We pass on that beyond 10, it doesn't make a difference, yeah. Right. But that's the question. How does the Meiri and Uda Imei, how do they read this Gemara? Unless, according to the Meiri, you have to say that first we decide when to have Elokeinu, and we decide to have Elokeinu ba'asara. Once you have Elokeinu ba'asara, so then that's what makes it into Adonis HaVikdusha. Meaning, because we discussed. Right, we discuss, well, what's the definition of a Dovish of Yikdusha, right? What's unique about the type of praise which we say in a Dovish of Yikdusha, which, let's say we say, Baruch Hashem HaMvaruch L'Olam V'Olam. So is that really so different than the phrase, Baruch Hashem L'Olam Amen V'Amen? Is it, in terms of content, is it so different? So I think what we quoted was, I think that the Rav had said this, I don't know if it was his, or he was saying it for Shem of Chaim, that the uniqueness, the singularity of Davish of Yikdusha is the challenge and response, the invitation. And it's the format more than the content which is unique to Davish of Yikdusha. So maybe the pshat is like this, that Birkas Hazimun, so ba'asara we decide there's an upgrade to Elokeinu, right? Once you have something which is invitation and response, and you have Shem Hashem, so then it becomes a Dovash HaVikdusha. So that would be how the Meiri reads the Gemara, right? The reason the Gemara can't just invoke Dovash HaVikdusha is because Birkas HaZimun, intrinsically, it isn't a Dovash HaVikdusha. We have a Mezumin B'Shlosha. But once you introduce Shem Hashem into the equation, right, And you introduce Shem Hashem Ba'asara, so then if you have something Ba'asara, where you're invoking Shem Hashem, and you're doing it in the format of invitation and response, so then that becomes a Dovah Shev Ekdusha. And maybe that's how he read the Gemara.
Then the Meiri should follow, like he says, I mean, that the Nashim then should be able to say Elokeinu, and it doesn't become a Dovah Shev Ekdusha, because they can't form a minion, so it's, they're just saying Elokeinu, because he has a step first. First you say Elokeinu, and then because your intention is to join together as 10, and we're saying Elokeinu, now we're going to become the Dovah Shev Ekdusha. But why, but then...
No, I hear your question. Meaning like this. If for some reason Chazal had felt it appropriate that when 8 people eat together, we should be Mavarech B'Shem, so then that addition wouldn't have converted it into a Dovah Shev Ekdusha. But once Chazal were Koveya, for the reason our Gemara gives, that it's Dafka Ba'asara, that we should say Elokeinu, then in so doing, they also transformed it into a Dovah Shev Ekdusha. So it's not, and also if you want, you can take advantage of the fact that it's Asara and make it, no, it became transformed into a Dovah Shev Ekdusha. So that's the Ran will read the Gemara. No, the Gemara is giving a reason. And the reason you see is going to end with Dovah Shev Ekdusha, because Hazimun is never a Dovah Shev Ekdusha. And the Meiri says no. The Gemara is giving us a reason why Chazal Kaveh say Shem Ba'asara. Once you're saying a Shevach about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kodosh 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 Hashem, Baruch Hashem HaMavoruch, you're saying that Shevach, and you're stipulating that you can only say it Ba'asara, and you're stipulating that the Mezamein says Nevarech, and then others respond, Baruch Elokeinu Shachalnu, so then you thereby transformed it into a Dovah Shev Ekdusha. And if that's the case, so now you have to have Dafka Anosha for it. Okay. Now, what else does the Mishnah have here? So the Mishnah also says, Ubekakos. What's the case of karkos? So Rashi in the Mishnah says, karkos shel hekdesh. If there's a field, if there's a land, real estate, which belongs to hekdesh, and you're going to be podir from hekdesh, so then the gezeres hakosav is that the shuma, the appraisal of what the karka is worth, is supposed to be done by 10 people, and one of the 10 is a kohen. Okay, so Tosfos here, interesting little Tosfos, which, I don't know, many, many lines intersect in this Tosfos. So take a look at the little Tosfos, Asara Kohenim. Tosfos says, Kashe li, amaylo boy achadosar, de'ein bezden shokol, v'chol dova shehu toloi, she'omeid v'shikil hadas. So Tosfos says that Tosfos assumes that this is a din in bezden. And then Tosu says, so what happened to the rule of Ein Bezdin Shokol? So there are many, many intersecting lines here. Some of them are more tangential. Just to initially follow up one of the tangential lines here, if you take a look at the Gemara Yevamos, which I'm on the table for a minute, The way Tosfos justifies the kasha, right? Tosfos justifies the kasha. They don't simply say that the 10 comprise a bezdin, that they constitute a bezdin, but they say more than that, right? They also say that the ten are needed for something which requires shikol hadas. And whenever you have something which requires shikol hadas, so then we say ein bezdin shokol, because we have to be able to break a tie. So, if you take a look here in Yevamos, Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph for a minute. Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph. So, the first mission here says, Mitzvah Chalitza V'Shlosha. That chalitza requires a bezdin of 3. Mitzvah chalitza v'shlosha dayanim. says, two lines into the Gemara, Tanina v'hoda tana rabbanan. Mitzvah chalitza b'shlosha sheyodin l'hakros ke'in dayanin. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'chamisha. My time at the Tana Kama, the Sanya, zekenim. Shnayim. How's the pasuk go? Say to v'nigsha yivimto el hazkenim or something, right? That if he doesn't want to be miyabim, so then the Torah describes that the yivama, the sister-in-law, approaches the zakenim and she says me'ein yivami lahakim la'achiv shem b'yisra. So it describes the v'nigsha el hazkenim. So the Tana Kama says that zakenim shnayim ve'ein bezin shokul masifan lein orechad harikan shlosha. And Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, well, that's actually all we need here. So Tosfos says here, ein bezin, meaning even though the Torah only speaks of two, but we then invoke the rule of ein bezin shokel, you're not supposed to have an even bezin, and so we add another one. The Zolot, the Mishnah Ziyagvitz, has an interesting simon, whether or not this din applies to Ataras Nadarim. Actually, it's very, very relevant halacha lemais, because Erev Rosh Hashanah or Erev Yom Kippur, whatever your minig is, fatras and dorim, so usually people break down into different groups. So if there's a multiple of three people davening in the minyan, multiple of four rather, so you have a bezin of three, and then you take turns of being matinet. But let's say it's not a multiple of four. Sometimes so people will break down into a group of five or something. So then the question is it okay that all four are sitting there when the fifth one is being matan eder? Because we have some of the dinim of bezdin when it comes to hataris nedarim, not others. We're matan nedarim balayla, and we're matir bikrovim. We have those dinim, but in others. So he says it's a machlokas. He clarifies that it's a machlokas whether or not this din of bezin shokel applies to hataras nedarim. Anyway, so Tosfos says, if you take a look at the second Tosfos in the perek, ein bezin shokel masifan lein orechad, hocha gavi chalitza osi shapid ein bezin shokel masifan lein orechad, to ha'ika kamal pute b'masnisen. Tosfos says the fact that the Gemara is that the Brisa applies the din of Ein Bezin Shokel to Chalitza, we understand. Because Tosfos says, as you learn through the Mishnayos here, in Mitzvah Chalitza, there are many Machlokasim. So therefore, it's something which is totally B'shikol Hadas, so that's why you can't have an even number of Dayan. Aval le'inyan smichas par, deba'ina nami shlosha kasha. But in Sanhedrin it says that on the par helam davar shel tzibur, so you need shlosha for that as well. And there too, the Gemara just says, it's v'samchu ziknei ha'edas yedehem al rosh ha'par. So ziknei is two, and ein bezin shokel, so that becomes three. So Tosfos says, what's the shikol hadas, what's the hora'o or shikol hadas involved just in the act of smicha on the par helam davar shel tzibur? V'yashlama says Tosfos, no, hasam nami ikka pluta iba in b'chol kocha. Maybe the question will arise in the Bezdin, so they have to do the smicha b'chol kocha. So lest that question should arise, you can't have a Bezdin shokha. Then Tosfos says, v'od yashlama duchol d'b'chol duchn d'v'in en roya l'bezdin ein Bezdin shokha. Then Tosfos says, no, the rule of ein Bezdin shokha, it's not just pragmatically, it's not when Bezdin is going to be mora, that the Torah says we don't want to allow for the possibility of a stalemate, so we'll have an odd number of dayanim. But whenever it's a din in Bezdin, and even if you have a Maisa Bezdin, which doesn't involve any possible horror or any possible disagreement, anything which requires Maisa Bezdin, we say that that ain't Bezdin Shokel. And then some of the Rishonim and Sanhedrin also have these. The Yad Ramah also has, because the Gemara says that from Medidas Egla Arufa, from measuring, from the where the where the murder victim is found, or whatever he is, to the closest city. So the medida of Egla Arufa also requires shlosha, and there too the Gemara says, well, it's because we know two, and ein bezin shokol. So there too the Yad Rama says, well, is it because conceivably there might be a machlokes whether or not you measure from the head or whether you measure from the heart? Well, no, maybe you don't have to say that. You just have to say that since it's a ma'aser bezdin, so then that's why we invoke ein bezdin shokel. So our Tosfos, again, just tangentially, so our Tosfos only feels they have a kasha because this is totally v'shikol hadas, right? According to the second answer in your vomis, Tosfos doesn't need it, right? All Tosfos would have to say is the ein bezdin shokel v'chol dava. They wouldn't have to add shehu toloi, Sha'omed v'shikol hadas. That's one sort of assumption. Whether about this question of ein bezdin shokol, whether it's a function again of bezdin hamore or any ma'aser bezdin.
Does it matter what type of bezdin it is? Like if there is something that's possible that they have to get the stalemate, they need a higher level. Isn't there something that you need? You have hadiotos and you have different types of. So could it matter that if it's something which you won't have disagreement about, that you need to be at a lower, requires a lower level of Dayanim?
Well, again, that's what the two days and those are talking about. Whether or not in Bezdin Shokel is a din in the Chefts of Bezdin, that the Torah says that the definition of Bezdin is that it's an odd number, or no, it depends upon the case. It's only when Bezdin is being called upon to pasken, to adjudicate. But when you have Bezdin, some things just require Maisa Bezdin, even though there's no Hava involved. That's exactly the two days, and that's what this Tosfos is taking sides on. Okay, that's one issue. Then, then, if you take a look at the Perush Mishnayos, the Rambam, in the Perush Mishnayos, our parak, as some of the Rishonim have it, is the last parak, is parak Dalet. So if you take a look here, I have it on page 78. If you see in the left-hand column, the paragraph which begins in Korsan al-Shema, six lines, seven lines from the bottom of the paragraph. Actually, if we begin a little bit up from there, if you see where it says, "V'kishiyelna odom erki olai," so the Rambam actually disagrees with what we've seen in the Rishonim on two scores here. "V'kishiyelna odom erki olai," v'ha'arachin psukim v'yiduim kvor v'loshem ha'Torah. The Perush Mishnah says after the Rosh. It continues in the same pagination. It's page 78, after the Rosh, but before the Rosh. V'kshayoma odam erki olai, v'ha'arachin psukim v'yiduim heim kvor v'loshan ha'Torah, v'ein lo lezeh ha'marich ma sheyiten ela achuzaso, ha'kohen ha'memuna al ha'hekdeshos, Yikach may also achuza de may ho erech shenishayavo lifnei asarim Yisrael v'echad mehem kohen. So first of all, the Rambam doesn't understand it the way Rashi does. The case that we're dealing with, according to Rashi, is you have a field which belongs to Hekdesh, and you're coming to be poed of the field. According to the Rambam, it's talking about a person made a pledge to Hekdesh, and specifically in the Rambam says in the form of arachin. So arachin. But a person can sort of pledge the value of a person to Hekdesh in one of two ways. Arachin follows the set amounts which the Torah assigns in Parshas Bechukosai. And Domov, a lie, which is what we're going to learn about in a minute, is when a person doesn't say Erki Olai, but says Domi Olai. Erki Olai has an assigned value in the Torah, just depending upon gender and age. And Dom of Olai, so then, or Domai Olai, is then evaluated Ke'evet HaNimkar Bashuk. Okay, so the Rambam says a person said Erki Olai. He said Erki Olai, but then he has no assets from which to make good on this pledge other than his field that he owns. So now the Gizbor is coming to collect the debt to Hekdesh from the field. So the question is how much he should... So the Rambam thinks that's where the Din of Asor is needed. It's not needed by Pidyon, stay Hekdesh, but rather when Hekdesh is being gove. Okay. Then the Rambam goes on and says, V'echad mehem kohen, sheyaskimu kulam, shezu shove zeho erech, v'oz yeri the socha. So the Rambam says there has to be unanimity. Right? Tosfos clearly thinks, right, the Pashtus in Tosfos is, that if Tosfos thinks the din of Ein Bezdin Shokol is only Bedavar Shehu Toli B'Shikal Hadas, Tosfos is also assuming that we'd go Basar Rov here. So Tosfos assumes that if there's going to be a disagreement, let's say there'll be a disagreement on what the assessment, right? Two people bid on a house. One person thinks the house is worth $200,000. The other person thinks it's worth $190,000. So you can have different opinions on a shuma. So Tosfos apparently thinks that we would go Basar Rov. Because otherwise, given their understanding of Ein Bez and Shokol, their kasha doesn't make any sense. If they think that Ein Bez and Shokol is limited to when there's a possibility of disagreement, then clearly they think that Ein Bez and Shokol is to ensure that we can break that we can have a rove on one side. And the Rambam says no, that there has to be unanimity. I think was it the Rav who said, I'm not sure, that the pshat is like this. That the Torah's whole din of Rov, let's say by Sanhedrin, let's say it's Dinei Momenus, right? Or Dinei Nefashas, whatever. So generally speaking, there are two possibilities, right? There's chayiv, there's zakai. There's chayiv, there's potter. So when you have two possibilities, so then there's a din of achiram lahatos. But what if there's more than two possibilities? What if there's 10 possibilities? So you have a shuma on a field. Okay, so one person, he'll say 190, he'll say 200, he'll say 210. Mehecha Taisei, there's going to be two opinions, and you'll have a role for one and not for the other. That the whole din role is sort of when the question is defined, but when the question is open-ended and sort of admits to an endless number of answers, which a shuma certainly does, so then there is no din rov. So then, according to Tosis's understanding of Ein Bez and Shokol, that would also explain why you wouldn't require an odd number here. Okay. Anyway, so what does the Gemara say? How do we know this? Minan emile omer Shmuel asara kolanim ksuvim beparsha. Chad legufei v'ito chavi miyod acha miyod v'ein miyod acha miyod elel rabos. Tisha Yisraelim v'chad Kohen. What does that mean? Let's take a look at Rashi. Kohenim, Yud Kohenim Ksuvim, Rashi says, B'pashas Hekdeshos, right, where the Torah talks at the end of Vayikra about being Poda, so Shlosha Ba'arachin, U'shlosha B'behema, V'abo B'karkos. So by the time you get to Karkos, V'kemu de Mishle Rebuhu, Asora, but in an asara gavre, since by the time we get to the final amount, we're talking about karkos, so we assume that the net total is intended for karkos, so the Torah has specified kohen 10 times. Ve'amido lefnei ha-kohen, ve'haricho ha-kohen, all those psukim. So chad legufe de kohen ba'inan. One tells us that you need a kohen, and the others. So there is a midah she'atar nedrashes bo. A midah she'atar nedrashes bo that ein miut achal miut el l'rabos. That if you have the same miut repeated twice, so then the second time it means just the opposite. So ein miut acha miut el l'rabos. So the first time the miut means you have to have dafka a kohen. A kohen is a miut. It means a kohen as opposed to a levi or yisra. Then it says kohen a second time. So ein miut acha miut el l'rabos. So says the gemara ve'em l'chamisha kohen v'chamisha yisraelim. So if that's the case, so the second kohen is a miut acha miut. Once it's a miut acha miut, so we treat it as a rivoy. So then the third kohen is not a miut acha miut anymore. So this should be a kohen. So that's the gemara's kasha. Why isn't it five and five? Kasha. Gemara doesn't answer. Okay. But adam kayotzeba. And the last thing which the Mishnah mentions, which requires asara, is the same way. Either according to Rashi being po to the field of Hektesh, or according to the Rambam being Hektesh being gover field requires asara for the shuma, for the appraisal of the field. So too, if you have to do an appraisal of a person, that also requires asara. But adam chayotzei bohen, how are you doing an appraisal of a person? Adam mikadosh. Right, so according to Rashi, that was the case of the Sada also. You're being poder a Sada, so I can be poder a person. According to the Rambam, even though that wasn't the case of Sada, but obviously you're not collecting the person, so that's the only possibility of what the Mishnah might mean. Adam mikadosh, but a person can't be kadosh lehektesh, that you're being poder him. Omer v'yabo, but omer damai olai. Where a person says, again, not erki olai, where we just go according to the assigned values depending upon age and gender, but damai olai. The sanya, omed damai olai, shaman osa ke'eved. So we appraise him as an eved. And eved is kush the kakos. And we have an equation between avodim and kakos. T'chsev hisnachaltem osim levnechem acharechem l'resh esachuza. That the same, but hisnachaltem, the same way you pass down your land, your nachla in Eretz Yisrael, the Yerusha to your sons, so too, if you have an Eved, you should pass him the Yerusha also. So Eved is kish the karka. So the same way there's a din of Asara for the Shuma of Karka, there's also a din of Asara for the Shuma of an Eved. Now here there's a very interesting Machlokes Rishonim. If you take a look in Tosfos, Shaman also, the bottom Tosfos here, Shaman also ke'eved ve'eved iskus lekakos tuchsev nisnachaltam also. Mashma says Tosfos, the eved ivri iskus lekakos. Meaning that not only is an eved knani iskus lekakos, right, which is certainly the case, because that's the context of the pasuk. The context of the pasuk in Parshas Behar is we're talking about an eved knani, and the context of the pasuk is, the pasuk is telling us that you're not supposed to gratuitously be meshachre and eved knani, but rather la'olam boim tavodu, and to such a point that you have to hold on to the eved knani so that you will bequeath it in your yerusha to your sons. So the context of the pasuk is eved knani. So the question is, this equation between eved and mamon, is that unique to eved knani or no? The context is Eved Kanani, but basically it's Adam who kash the karkos. It's Adam who kash the karkos. So that's a big, big deal in the Rishonim. So Tosfos here understands that when we say the person is being nishom, is being appraised, ke'eved anim ka bashuk, it means ke'eved ivri anim ka bashuk. In which case, you see from this Gemara that even an Eved Ivri is, and if Eved Ivri it means Adam in general, is hukash. Is hukash the karka. So says Tosfos, that's the impression you get from this Gemara, but the problem is, v'kashya, d'haynu davka eved knani, d'alei ksiv kor v'hisnachaltem, aval eved ivi lo matzinu klal, d'iskash the karka. So Tosfos is stuck with a kashya. Now again, the premise of the kashya is that they understand that ke'eved anim ka'vashuk means ke'eved ivi anim ka'vashuk. you take a look on the side of the Gemara, the Masoros HaShas refers to the fact that this Gemara appears in Sanhedrin as well, Tezvav. So there Rabbi Chananel says that Ke'evel Nimka B'Shuk means Ke'evel Knani Nimka B'Shuk. That when we say Dome Olai, so it means that even though he's a Yisrael, even though he's a Yisrael Gomel Ben Chorin, but for purposes of Shuma, we pretend that he were an Eved Knani, and he's Nishom that way. Now you have this, you have a parallel machlokas between Rashi and the Rosh in the beginning of Hachovel in Bava Kamma. By the Chamisha Dvarim, which Achovel B'Chaveru was Chayav, so Achovel B'Chaveru was Chayav Nezek Tzar Sheves Ripuin Boshes. So what's Nezek? Nezek means if he caused permanent damage. Permanent damage, that the person, Rachman Aslan, lost the use of something, of his hand, of something. So then, we make a Shuma Ke'evet HaNimka B'Shuk. How much was he worth before the permanent injury of Rachman Aslan? How much is he worth afterwards? So Rashi there says in Hachovel that it means Ke'eved Ivri. It means like Eved Ivri, parallel to what our Tosfos says in our context here. And the Rosh says it means Eved Kanani, right? Now, at first glance, right, obviously the reason Rashi in Bava Kamma and our Tosfos is saying Ke'eved Ivri is because if this person were ever going to be Nimkar, he would be Nimkar as an Eved Ivri. I mean, he can't make himself into an Eved Kanani. If a person is born Jewish, he can't regress into an Eved Kanani. The only thing he theoretically, hypothetically, could ever become is an Eved Ivri. He could be Mocher Atzma. So that's the Rosh's Kasha. The Rosh's Kasha says, he says, yes, I understand why you would want to say like Rashi, but there's no such thing as an Eved Ivri selling himself for more than 6 years. And the whole thing is that Dome Olai, a person's worth, should be for the rest of his life. So he says, Al-Kochacha, it has to mean Ke'eved Knani. Aye, but Ke'eved Knani, it's not realistic. So the Teretz is that what the Rosh clearly means is, of course it's not realistic. But the question is, if a person said, Domei Olai, or we want to give him monetary compensation for the permanent nezek which was inflicted, so that's a way of making a shuma. It's not a way of saying this is his actual worth. No, a person doesn't have a worth anyway. It's not as if a person is a bar domim, and that what we're presuming to do is no, a person doesn't have a worth anyway. The only thing is, we have to translate it into dollars and cents. We need some dollar and cents figure, because in the Maisa, the Torah says that what to do in a case of Nezek is that there's monetary compensation. The Torah says that there is such a thing as saying Domei Olai, and then you give a certain amount to the Beis HaMikdash. So it's a din shuma, but it's not that we presume to say that this is what he would actually fetch in the marketplace, because he's not really a bad domim anyway. We don't view him as what potential monetary value he has. I don't know what the teretz is for Rashi in our Tosfos. But you ask an actuary what his life. And I'm sure there's an answer. I don't know what it is, because right, it makes no sense that it should be for 6 years.
It must mean that they're saying it should be like a Jew who would be a permanent slave, but so you figure out what an Eved Ivri would be worth for this 6 year or the next 7 years.
But how could you? But you can't even do that. I mean, you don't know. How do you know? People don't age uniformly. They don't. I think when you go to the science museum, that they have something in the science museum, they'll tell you how you're going to look in. You ever take your kids there? How are you going to look in 20, 30 years from now? Okay, good. But no one keeps track and comes back 20 years later to see whether they were. So I don't know what it means. Practically. All right, so Blinad, we'll pick up next time.